Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well today. In compliance with the governor's order, I am working from home today and recording this lesson from my house. And so I diligently searched out the quietest place in the house, and that's here. This is my greenhouse, so welcome. We've got a few plants growing behind me and some fish in the tank back there, and you're here with me today too, and I'm glad to get to be with you and share this message from the Word of God together today. A couple of announcements as we get started. We have two online Bible studies going on right now, and I plan to continue these as long as we need to be apart from each other until we can be back together in person. One is Wednesday nights, 7 to 8 p.m. This is a continuation of our Bible 101 class, which is studying the Gospel of Luke. We are in chapter 9 coming up this next Wednesday. And then Sunday mornings, 10:30 to 11:30, starting today, March 29th, we're going to be studying issues related to the current pandemic and related theological issues. So questions like, how could a loving God let a pandemic like this strike the world? Isn't that evidence that there is no God, or that there is no God who is good? And then also, if you believe there is a God, then is this pandemic punishment on the earth? Is this God's judgment for certain sins? How are we to think about this pandemic? So we'll be working on questions like that starting this morning, March 29th, 10:30 to 11:30. Both of these online studies are going to be working through Zoom, an online video conferencing platform, Zoom, and I'd be glad to get you information about how to connect. You can give me a call or send me a text or email. I'd be glad to get you connected. Also, check the church emails because there will be links to both of those Bible classes in the church emails. If you are not on the church's email list, but need to be, that's where all the latest information is. We try to post everything on Facebook, the church's account there, and also the church website, of course. You can find up-to-date information in both of those places, but prayer requests and, you know, up-to-the-minute announcements are sent out through the church's email list. And if you would like to be added to that list, please contact me or CJ Catt or Shirley Sintel, and we'll be glad to work that out for you. Also, if you have kids with you today and you have not looked at it already, there is a children's church style video on the worship at home page on the church's website, www.summitviewchurch.net. And it's about 15 minutes long, has songs, a lesson, and a craft that the kids can work on in conjunction with the lesson. And there's also a guest appearance by the preacher, so watch for that, too. I have had Psalm 74, verse 9, running through my head this week. That line just says, "We are given no signs from God, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be." That's a line from sometime after Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, and the temple was burned down, and sacrifices to God ended because there was no temple and altar there, and the Jews had been exiled away from their homeland. It was a time of general silence from God, and all the faithful could do, as this this line from the Psalms hints at, was wait and just hope that God would rise up someday and help his people again. And in the meantime, all God's people could do was endure. No prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be. Until this novel coronavirus runs its course, about all we can do is endure. Just wait it out. None of us knows how long it will be, and so I've had this verse running through my head this week. So today, some thoughts to help us endure. We endure best when we are at rest, when we're not frantic or overly anxious or dreading tomorrow. We endure best when we rest in God. And so I want to share some thoughts on the theology of rest today, how we rest in God. And let's start at the story of the creation, out of Genesis 1 and 2. There's a rhythm to life. God himself set this rhythm in Genesis chapter 1, in the story of creation. It's work and rest, work and rest. I got this thought from a sermon that I just happened across by a preacher in Arkansas this past week, Luke Norsworthy, and so I want to give him credit for that thought. I thought it would fit in real well with my lesson this morning as I was imagining it earlier this week. And he pointed out that in Genesis 1, God creates, and then there's sort of this pause. There's evening, and there's morning the first day. And then on the second day, God creates again. And then there's evening, and there's morning the second day. And on the third day, God creates, and then there's a pause, evening and morning. And we go through that cycle six times, the 6 days of creation. God works and then takes a break. God works and then takes a break, and there's this rhythm here. And then when God finishes all his work, then he looks at the whole creation, and he's very pleased with it. And he rests. And so let's read a little bit. Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. When his work was done, God rested. Not just took a break, you know, because does God even need breaks? I mean, I don't know how that works with God. Does he need to take a break? But he stepped back and took in all that he had made. He was pleased with it, and he took the opportunity to sit back and just enjoy it. The plants, the animals, the light, the seas, the land, everything he had made, even the people. God really likes people. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on that day he rested. Last week I said that the first time that the Sabbath is mentioned in Scripture is in Exodus 16, our text last week. And that's true for the noun form of the word, but the verb form of the word for Sabbath occurs first here, right at the beginning of the story of the human race, Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. It's the word for Sabbath in verb form, meaning something like stop or cease. It can also be translated as here, rest. God rests. He stops his work. He rests from his work. God rested on the seventh day, then blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This idea of resting on the seventh day comes up again later. God rescued the Israelites from slavery, made them a nation, and then taught them to take time to rest, as he himself had done. In the Ten Commandments, God gives this law to Israel from Exodus 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the fourth of the Ten Commandments, and it takes us back to the creation story. God rested on the seventh day, and so the Israelites too must honor that day and keep it holy. They must honor the Sabbath, the day of stopping, the day of rest, and keep it holy. Don't do any work that day, but rest. You, your children, your servants, Your immigrant neighbors, they also are to rest on that day. Even your animals are to get the day off. Everyone must rest. Well, that sounds easy enough, right? I mean, who doesn't like getting a day off? But sometimes that's a little harder than we would think at first. In the ancient world, most people got paid daily. So if you skipped a day's work, you skipped a day's pay. Most people were very poor, and that was true in ancient Israel as well. There was just a very, very small upper class and a very small middle class. Most people were poor. And so to take a day off without pay was an act of faith. Faith that God would provide, as we talked about last week. Faith that God would take care of you as you took this day to focus on Him instead of providing for yourself and your family. Resting on the Sabbath day was a way of saying, I trust God to take care of me. I trust God to take care of us. Back to the reason that God gave Israel for resting on the seventh day. God Himself had rested on that day. He wanted His people to rest as He had done. He set the example. He set the standard. He wanted His people to be able to relax, to enjoy the fruit of their labors, to enjoy life a little bit, not to be stressed and pushing all the time. Life isn't just about getting money or about working hard to build a more secure future. Those things can be good in proper measure, but there's more to life than those things. We human beings, we tend to be insecure creatures. Our lives are fragile, and we know it. Our societies are fragile, and we see that, especially right now with all the changes in our society and all the questions about will everyone be okay? Will everyone get through this pandemic? How many people will we lose? God help us. May He protect each one. And what will happen to the economy? And will everything collapse around us? Our societies and our lives are fragile. If the economy has to shut down for a while, how are we going to survive? It's an important question. Sabbath reminds us that our security does not come and never has come from a strong economy or from working as hard as we can or from anything else. Our security comes always from God. And that scares us because that puts God in control instead of us. We have a natural tendency to try to be in control of our lives because the sense that we have some control makes us feel safer. But are we ever really in control of our lives? I think we are in part. God has given us some control, but there's always a lot that is beyond our control. The economy, no one of us, all the way up to the highest levels of government, has full control over the economy. We might have some influence, but not control. World leaders, I mean, we can't control what world leaders do. They do what they're going to do. Pandemics, obviously, we have little control over pandemics. We can only respond the best we know how to respond. The weather. None of us can control the weather. It happens, and we have to deal with it. Thankfully, in Yakima, that's usually a nice thing. Good, warm, sunny days most of the year. Sabbath reminds us that God is in control, and we can trust Him. Israel took a day off every Sabbath, and their economy did not collapse. In fact, researchers today might argue that maybe it made their economy stronger. Researchers today will tell us that we do the best work when we take a day off on a regular basis, or 2 days off maybe for the weekend. Work and rest, work and rest. God in His wisdom gave us this rhythm for life. He rested, and so should we. And I think for any of us whose schedules have slowed down these last 2 weeks, now is a good time to practice the spiritual discipline of rest. A little later, God gave Israel more teaching about the Sabbath. Let's take a look at a passage from Ezekiel 31, beginning in verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." God's Sabbath law was a very serious command. Breaking the Sabbath was punishable by death. And this command was so serious because the Sabbath, rest, was to be a sign that Israel was the unique body of people who belonged to God and was blessed by God. God had given his people rest. To reject that rest was to reject God. To reject the Sabbath was to blatantly reject God. In verse 17, the Lord says that on the seventh day he was rested and was refreshed. Now again, I'm not sure what it means for God to be refreshed. I mean, does God get tired? Does he get weary from all his hard work? I don't know how that works. But it says he rested and was refreshed. He put out effort. He created all things. He finished his creation. He rested. He enjoyed the result of his labors and was refreshed. God rested and was refreshed, and he wanted his people to rest and be refreshed too. A little later, as God was continuing to give his laws to Israel, in Leviticus chapter 25, God instituted a Sabbath year. So not just a Sabbath day every week, but a Sabbath year. Every seventh year, the Israelites were to take a whole year off from farming. Let all the land lie fallow. Let the land rest. Now, we know now that letting land lie fallow can help replenish the nutrients in the soil and increase its productivity. So it can be a good thing to do, and farmers a lot of times will let some of their land lie fallow and farm on other land and rotate the areas that lie fallow from year to year. But imagine letting all the land lie fallow for a whole year of not growing any crops. Now, that might be a nice break for farmers, which would be almost everyone in ancient Israel. But where would you get your food from? And so following this command required tremendous faith. God had promised he would provide for his people if they rested from farming in the Sabbath year. But following that command took a lot of faith. And actually, we have some indication in Scripture that that was a very hard command for Israel to follow. They may not have followed it really very much at all. It took a lot of faith. Our virus-prompted social distancing is a sort of Sabbath for us. A lot of people, including some of you, are off from their usual work. All of us are out of our usual routine. This is a time requiring faith, and more faith the longer this time goes. Of course, this strange Sabbath isn't a break for everyone. Neither was the Jewish Sabbath. In Israel, the priests who worked at the temple still had to work on the Sabbath, offering sacrifices, leading the people in worship, teaching the people, kind of like how preachers don't get Sundays off, you know. Guards and soldiers still had to work on the Sabbath, especially guards at the temple, had to keep people safe there and keep things orderly. Stay-at-home parents in Israel, I'm sure, still had to take care of their kids on the Sabbath, and so on. But most work in Israel came to a halt for a day on the Sabbath. And a lot of our work has slowed or has stopped for us these past couple of weeks. To whatever extent your life, it has slowed down for you right now, let it be a Sabbath for you. Make it a time of rest, a time when God can refresh you, a time for trusting God, a time for enjoying some of the good things that God has given you and for giving Him thanks. This isn't a Sabbath we wanted. Nobody asked for this kind of Sabbath. And may God heal our land and our world as soon as possible. But if God has blessed you with health, and if He's given you time to rest, take advantage of it. Treat it something like a Sabbath. Now, it's very interesting. We who follow Jesus don't have any command from the Lord requiring us to honor the Sabbath day. God's laws for Israel don't always apply directly to us because most of us aren't Jews. And when God added Gentiles into the church, He removed the requirement for followers of Jesus to adhere to the laws that God gave specifically to Israel, because He wanted Jews and Gentiles to be able to be part of the same church together, part of the kingdom of God together, to be one people in Christ. So there are actually a few New Testament passages that teach us not to require each other to honor the Sabbath day or any other command that God gave strictly to Israel. So one example of this is Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. All these things are Jewish commands, commands God had given to Israel. Paul says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The Sabbath command was intended for Israel until Christ came. Now the old law has been superseded by the rule of Christ. And so Sabbath requirements, as Paul makes clear here, do not apply to Christians. But the principle behind them does still apply. We still need rest. Rest is still a part of the rhythm that God has given us for life. We work, we struggle, we play hard. It's actually a bizarre sort of self-compliment in our culture to be able to say, oh, I have been so busy. Like you can tell that you're a good person if you're doing so much that you hardly have any time to rest. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. You know, I say this more often than I would like to admit. Oh, I've been so busy, and I feel really good about myself for that, you know? It's even become a sort of status symbol in our culture. My busyness demonstrates that I have access to all these desirable activities that not everyone has access to. And I have so many responsibilities that I'm obviously an important, capable, and valuable person. You know, it's sort of a strange, subtle status symbol. But our high valuation of busyness doesn't fit well with God's value system. God created us not only to work hard, but also to rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is a refreshing teaching. To any of us who are worn out, who hurt, who ache, who are just tired, who struggle, who have been broken, who work hard and grow weary, who work hard and who work and who work and work and grow weary, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus came to reinstate the natural rhythm of life that God created for us, to set us free from oppression and overwork and distraction, to help us find joy and peace and rest in God again. Jesus came to give us rest. But there are a lot of scared people out there today, and we have a lot to be afraid of right now. And it's hard to rest when you're afraid. Every night 2 weeks ago, when the first statewide social distancing orders came out, I'd go to bed thinking, we're going to get through this fine. There are things that we need to change for how we interact as a church, and I'm going to work on all of that. And I'd go to bed thinking, God's in control of this. And then I'd wake up. Every night I would wake up and couldn't get back to sleep because my mind was just working and working, trying to figure out what the church would need once we couldn't get together for worship anymore for a while. And I didn't think of it as fear so much as just concern for the church's well-being, but there was an element of fear in there, not knowing what's going to happen and trying to get everything under control so it would all be okay. Fear of the unknown. A pandemic. And we can't be together, and the economy is partly shut down, and none of us knows how long this will be. And I'm sure I was not the only person who lost some sleep these last couple of weeks. When we're afraid, we tend to get out of rhythm. We have this natural urge to take as much control as we can. That's why people buy up all the eggs they can find, or all the toilet paper they can get, or all the water bottles they can acquire. We're scared, and so we do whatever we can to make our situation more secure. Yet when we're afraid, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus doesn't make our fears miraculously vanish. Trusting God is a spiritual discipline. It takes practice. But the more we learn that God is good, the more we learn to pray. And the more we learn to follow the Lord's commands, the more we learn that we can trust God. And the more we learn to rest. The Lord gives us rest. As long as we refuse to rest, we reject God's help. As long as everything depends on us, we won't let God sustain us. As long as we refuse to turn away from sin and come to Jesus, as long as we refuse to quiet our spirits and look to Him for our strength, as long as our hope is wrapped up in what we can accomplish ourselves, we push God away. God, who Himself rested and who graciously gives His people rest. There's a passage from the prophet Isaiah in the late 700s BC. Israel was on the verge of being overwhelmed by the Assyrian Empire. Northern Israel had already been conquered, and southern Israel, Judah, was close to being conquered. In Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord recounts how His people have rejected Him, though He held out hope to them. He says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." They kept trying. Isaiah goes on to say, to rescue themselves from their enemies instead of turning to God. But it didn't work. They rejected God's prophets and insisted that they would defend themselves, but it was all doomed to fail. And yet God reached out to his people again and again and declared that the moment they cried to him for help, he would answer them. As soon as they came to him, he would give them rain for their crops and grass for their cattle. He would provide them with teachers to instruct them in God's ways and how they should live, and he would bind up all their wounds. In repentance and rest was their salvation. If only they would take it. In quietness and trust was their strength. If only they would look to God. We are going through a stressful, frustrating, very limiting time. We don't know how long we will have to endure. Some experts are still saying it's likely to get worse before it gets better. No one knows exactly how long this epidemic might go on. Like the psalm says, none of us knows how long this will be. But we know that God is near. So this is a time for us to rely on God, to come to Jesus for rest, to find in repentance and rest our salvation, and in quietness and trust our strength. God has always called his people to come and find rest in him, in good times and in bad. However long this pandemic and social distancing and all the difficulties created by them go on, God will help us endure as we rest in him. God himself set the standard. On the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. He called Israel to rest regularly and to be refreshed. He invites us to come and be refreshed in Jesus. This week, if you're off from work, if you're stuck at home, if you can't do the things you would normally do, take the opportunity to rest. Rest in the Lord. If your work is such that you'll be working extra hours this week, kind of the opposite of a Sabbath, look for moments when you can rest. Rest and remember the Lord who refreshes his people. Breathe and take a moment to pray. If there's any sin in your life that gets between you and God so that you don't receive his rest, turn away from it and make things right with God, and sooner rather than later. Why put off God's blessings any longer than we have to? In repentance and rest is your salvation. Our security does not come from all the things we accomplish or the resources we can gather for ourselves, but our security comes from the strength of our God. We don't get through the day because we're so tough, but because our God provides for us. Trust in God and rest in him. Sabbath. Do some Sabbath this week. Take time and rest in God. If God rested, so can we. Rest in him this week. Wherever you are today, may the blessing of God rest on you.